Okay, last time we discussed the sources of tevila, of requiring tevila's kelim. Fundamental dispute whether when the Torah speaks of the kelim of after the war against Midian, whether the what had to be done to them was because of kashrus concerns or also because of tumah concerns. Right? Obviously, there's a difference between whether this is a Torah law or a rabbinic law. We all agree that we do it. It's just a question of whether it fulfills a d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. Okay, so question now is what materials require immersion? Right? You don't have to tovel scissors. You don't have to tovel a shovel. You don't have to tovel a dustpan because those things are not used directly with food. Now, if you do have one of these, like a turkey scissors, you know, chicken cutter scissors, you ever see those?
Shears,
yeah, you see them. They have like long blades. So those would have to be tovel because they have a din like a knife, basically. Okay, it's used directly with food, but it's that which has to do with food and directly with food. I think I mentioned the nafkamina last time of a tray that goes into the oven, right? Some people put food right on top. They put a slice of pizza right on top of that. Same would be like in a toaster oven, small toaster oven. So if that little grate comes out, it's got to be tovel if you ever put food right on top. If you only ever put aluminum foil or you put a pot or a plate on top of that, then it would not have to be tovel. Now, in some microwaves, they have like a glass tray inside. So that too, a microwave is a difficult thing in itself because it's probably best to just have a microwave for one milchik soflesh. But if you only have one, so the general practice is that you always cover. Food is never into the open in that kind of microwave. All right, is always covered. There's never anything that has a shemitz of food, that is out in the open to the element of the microwave. It's on the inside of a pot or a container. It works for treif. If you have a if you're in a microwave, let's say in a secular office or in a hotel, if you double wrap it, that'll work with hatchila for treif. Between milk and supply shakes, because that's called heterobola, so one wrapping is enough. Right? So the microwave glass tray, if you never put food directly on that tray also would not need to be tovel. It has a din of like the grates of the top of your oven. Right? If you have a gas oven, then you see that there's grates that you put your pot on top of, your pan on top of that. You don't have to talk about those because it doesn't serve food. It serves the things that serve food. The things you put on top of that have to be talked about. But if someone would ever put, I don't know who would do such a thing, but if you would put, let's say, a food directly onto that fire to warm up in 30 seconds or something, then can't imagine what that would be, but be dismayed.
Hard burst.
Yeah, something that's going to burn quickly. But if you would, then that grate has to be tovel also, because then it becomes like a din of a direct association. Okay, so however, what this is discussing on page 154 is the makeup of the utensil, the doraisa din, because in that tumadika setting, it talks about halal cherev. So we know that the cherev, which is of course metal, is a good conductor of practically everything. Conducts heat very well, right? Conducts cold very well. It also conducts tuma very well. The metal is the drash halal cherev. That the cherev becomes like the halal. If you touch the dead body with a sword, the tumor goes right through the sword into your hand. That's metal. So with the raisa, when you do tovel kalim, you should try to tovel very first when making the bracha. You know, try it. That's the halacha. Is that you have to tovel the to make the bracha is something that's made of metal. If it's made of glass, especially in the Gemara, Maseches Avodah Zarah, where the glass has a din of a kli cheres, because it's made of the ground, it's made of sand, or whether it has a din of kli maschus, because glass, like metal, can be melted down or smashed and then reconstituted. So, as such, our custom, perhaps because of the doubt, is to treat glass like metal, to say it needs toveling, but to consider the suffix to the point that we won't make a bracha if all we're toveling is glass, right? And if we're toveling glass and metal, make a bracha on the metal, right? But we do toveling. Okay, so we're considering it's glass and we're considering that it's metal, right? As opposed to wood, you know, doesn't need. Plastic doesn't need. Fine china, the custom now is to be lenient on that. You can get this really fine china. And I don't mean Corel. Corel, people do talk for Corel. But fine china, which is like maybe what you got as a wedding present or, you know, for a set of fleshy dishes. I mean, so fine china does not need to be tovel, even if it has a glaze on top of it. Why doesn't it need? Because they're made of,
in China nowadays.
Yeah, I think they're made of this finer material, but I know if Tim Lewis Donovan's done made them for the longest time. From my Moshe Feinstein, that fine china does not need to be toveled.
Yeah.
Right. It's a relief, because in toveling fine dishes like that, they tend to be thin and they can crack very easily. So, you know, this way here, but I'm not saying that's why they're basking this way, but okay. All right. So, what if something has multiple, components to it? Wood, right? So it said that, so if whenever something has part metal, so of course you have to toll it for that purpose, even if the rove is not metal. If it has a little metal in it, then it has to be tolled. Okay. Right, so covered with metal. Okay, so here this page 154, we have a citation of Tosfos that says that the metal part has to serve some kind of a function. Now, of course, why did they put it there if it doesn't have a function? Well, if it's just there for noi, right? If it's just there for decoration or something. So then it wouldn't count. That's the important part of the utensil's function. Okay, that's the Tosfos at the bottom of page 154. And the Tosfos, the Gemara, at the end of the Maseches Avodah Zarah that I just mentioned. Okay. So. Okay, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch passes. Okay, anything made of rubber, anything made of wood, plastic, there's some synthetic makeup. All these things do not need to be told about today. Okay. All right, so and so just take a look at the psak of the Ramah here in the middle of page 154. It says the view of the Ramah, and according to the Ramah, for the utensil is lined on the inside with metal, it must be immersed without a bracha. Similarly, in the case of utensil, which is coated with metal on the outside, it should be immersed without a bracha. Right? And then the Ramah says the same if it's inlaid or overlaid with lead. Even though lead is ostensibly a metal. Right. Right. Okay, Avad Yosef, the Sephardic rabbi, the bottom of page 155. Paskins like the Ramah, like the Chumrah of the Ramah, to make these things require tefillah and not like the Shulchan.
There's like
new
type of pots and pans that are no scratch or scratch free. It's like a special coating.
The custom is the tovel of things. And see, usually, if something can be tovel, it can also be kashered. Mm. You get it? Because chabad talia. Because if it's metal to require toveling, so metal can exude, metal can pollute, whether it was balea.
Vice versa.
Yeah, so if it's not polite, if it's not polite because it's an earthenware vessel, then it doesn't need tovel. So the minhag is though to tovel these things like these Teflon covers without a bracha. So surely, if the pan is metal itself and it's coated with Teflon, yeah. Okay, let's take a look at the middle of page 156. These are utensils that do not need tefillah. We mentioned some of them, right? So the Rambam says wooden or stone utensils doesn't have to tell them. Stone vessels are not mekabel tumah. You see those archaeological tours. They take you in the old city of Yerushalayim. They find that those underground monuments where they found only stone kalims. And some of those were kohanim. Kohanim wanted to avoid tumah. You know, like we said before, is that metal is a good conductor of tumah, so stone is not. So stone doesn't need to be too tight. And the Pesachei Tshuva extends it to porcelain as well. What's the Shabbos Tshuvas of Yaakov Emre? Okay. Even though they're similar to glass, they do not need to be tovel. This is porcelain, I call the Homer for in China. Because it's well known that they're made of sand and earth, right? Whereas the Torah speaks of metal. Although they are smooth, right? They're not subject to tefillah. Okay, in the middle of 157. Many poskim agree with the Pesachei Tshuva, but some have a more stringent practice to immerse porcelain utensils without a bracha. Okay? But almost everybody agrees that plastic need not to be. Plastic does not resemble any of these things. It's Eliezer on page 158. Yeah. So, the Mincha Sitzchak here, which is on page 158, he disagrees. He thinks that plastic should have a din of glass. That's his deal. Okay, that's I think Lamaisa. Avad Yosef writes plastic is potter from what he did. If you want to be Achmir to all of Lacha. So he writes in bottom page 159, let me see, it says that today the widespread practice is not to type in that. Use that, keep that in mind, and the Chag Maisa. Right, so. Okay, so if the thing is made of metal and some other things, so, we saw Pesach before that it only has to be tovel if the metal parts serve some kind of a function. And the Ramah is quoted here on page 150, 160,
It's not with a robe, right? Robe metal and that.
It has to serve some kind of purpose. It has to serve its purpose, and it becomes like a small kli that needs to be toveled on its own. It doesn't become bottled to the larger element of the vessel. Okay, so page 162 is something we said already. I mean, it's quite a bit of commentary here. But suffice it to say, in order to require tevila for being a kli food, it has to be used directly with the food. Okay, so let's ask, what about a corkscrew? What do you think? Correct. What about a shechita knife? Very much so. Never cut bones with a shechita knife. Wouldn't use it for anything else. The people who really work with a shechita knife, they treat it like a surgeon's scalpel. I mean, it's like my son Moshe has one, and he has a Japanese stone that he sharpens it with. Very expensive, and.
But I
also
used it on the west side.
Right. You could take it just.
Yeah.
In fact, you can do it in the midair. It's so sharp. So no one's using that for anything but shechita. So what do you think?
No.
No. That's a very valid question. What about nutcracker?
I'd only say no because you're not eating the shell of the nut.
If somehow you can picture the nutcracker in your hand, right? And then after you crack the walnut, you use the end of it to like use it like chopsticks to pick up the nut and eat. But no, the minhag is not, you don't have to because it's used to as a hechsher to get the food to you.
They have like now they have apple core, like an apple corer.
I think that would be called tovel. Because it becomes like a knife slicing the apple. As opposed to a shochet's knife, which is not slicing any food. The neck is going to become food. Yeah, but it's not in the preparation of food. It's the hechsher to make the food kosher. Okay, so these are good examples of setting up parameters. I never shucked it,
I'm always not for you. That's also like a skilled tool that I'm using.
If you're on page 164, towards the bottom, it says, you see, the utensils that come into contact with the food only in the earliest stages of preparation, but the food requires more preparation, right? So these the minhag is to toivel it without a rach. Okay. So he writes, you see at the bottom, he's like part of your question. Peeler, though, must be toivel, according to the poskim, if it's used for vegetables that are edible or raw. Because it's nourishing the preparation of the food. So what about a potato peeler? You're gonna tell me now a potato peeler doesn't have to be toveled because it's not technically not used with food. Potato peeler has a din like a
potato.
Right, because there's still something else that has to be done with this potato to make it edible. But a carrot peeler or an apple peeler does have to be toveled. Because that, after the see enough meaning?
Yeah.
All right, so Yalkut Yosef on page 165. So there's another aspect of definition of Kli Seuda, set up by Rav Shlom Zalman, is whether items that are normally separated from the food by material or other item which acts as a barrier acquired with tefillah. Let's see what he means. So look at the Shas trees. Seems that a utensil which is normally used to the intermediary of a bag, like a pitcher for holding a plastic bag of milk. You know, and in these Eretz Yisrael, you see those? It's
like in Israel.
You have the bag of milk.
Goes inside
that hole. So you're holding the. And that tends to be plastic, so it doesn't have to be for that reason. I've never seen anything like that. But plastic.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, it says that this ruling obviously only applies to milk pitchers made out of metal or glass. Today, though, the vast majority of plastic. So you wouldn't have to talk about it for that reason. The standard to put the food in and take it out with the bag. It appears that the bag should be considered a barrier. However, if a person normally uses the utensil by spreading only a cloth, certainly like paper or plastic, it seems to be in the humble opinion of distance the immersed to a blessing. You see the question? It's not the milk that comes into contact with that. If that's the mamela, it's a metal milk holder.
You know, there's mold coming out. Or a cup.
No, it comes in contact with that plastic bag, not with the milk. Milk doesn't go into that pitcher. It's a plastic bag that goes in the pitcher. He wants to make a clear that even if that plastic bag of milk, you've seen them, right? Yeah. I haven't seen them so much in Israel anymore, but even that plastic bag would go into a metal milk holder. He argues that it would still need to be tovel because the thin little separation between the milk and the. Okay, the next page talks about an interesting thing. What happens if you have something whose clearly its main use, everyone buys it for food? Right, but this person uses it to store Lego pieces. What do you think?
And you assume probably yes, just because it's what it's normally used for until it's.
So, and first of all, it has to have a clear machshava.
Yeah.
You have to set it aside for that. So, some say that if a person does not acquire the utensil to use with food, but rather for cutting textiles and the like, he doesn't need to remove.
You go to the store and attention, it's inside.
I bought this pot to store buttons. I have thousands of buttons.
For a toy for the kids.
So the Ramah says, nonetheless, he may not use the utensil for food service purposes, even irregularly, without an immersion. Even though the utensil was originally acquired for non-food purposes. Similarly, if a second Jew acquires this item from the first owner for the purpose of food, that second owner must immerse it. But this is true in a lot of areas of halacha, you know. I think we mentioned one or two the last time about the mat for the sukkah cover.
Yeah.
This tach, if it was made for a partition of a door, same exact item.
Absolutely.
It has to be the machshava that originally made it had to have been for schach, and it's not makabel tumah. But you know, slats of wood that are connected with string, you know, hundreds of slats, that's of course it could be a kli, be a partition. But we should always perform the tevila after the purchase, after we own this thing. We should not talk with something we are going to own, but talk with something that we already own. He mentions at the bottom of 166, if you own a houseware store, you should make sure to have a mikveh, a kele mikveh nearby, to make it easy for people to. We also say the same applies to a gift. So if you're giving a gift to someone, you should tova in advance. The assumption of these last two tshuvas is that if you don't make it easy for someone to do a mitzvah, they may not do it. Don't give a michshol to your friend to give him a gift that's not toveled. Certainly you should tell him if it wasn't toveled.
Yeah.
Okay. Chad, I think I'm gonna stop with this.
Okay.
There's a review on page 168 to 170. I think we pretty much covered everything. Maybe we'll just start with this chakira of the next.